dubsteps for pussies.
You're so dark!
The Ajayna from the DC Universe!
What can I say about the DCEU that hasn't already been spoken about ad nauseum by the access media, the mainstream media, and even Deadpool? I don't think I can say anything more about the negative and hilarious stuff that's resulted from it. However, I do feel I gotta shed perspective on something, on how it's aged over time, and that's what I'm gonna get into. This is the DCEU retrospective, and this is Andres Off the Record. Thank you so much for joining me. If you're listening to this, that's because you're one of the few that's been handpicked to listen to these off the record, off the cuff, you can't hear it in public episodes of the Andres Segovia Show. This is where I can be uncensored, unfiltered. That doesn't mean I'm gonna go off on the on a foul tirade, but if I bring a guest on and they do, then that's par for the course, because some guests, well, some guests are a little more colorful than I am. But I digress. Let's get into this whole DCEU thing. What is the DCEU in the first place? Well, the DCEU was Warner Brothers' response to Marvel's extended universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as it's known. And those of you that follow those movies, then even if you didn't know it by that expression, you know the movies. There's been at least 22 movies as of this recording that have come out to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with many more already announced and in production. So that's not slowing down anytime soon. It's just that it's basically reached its pinnacle with what is the Avengers Endgame movie. Okay, so Warner Brothers wanted to replicate that. And they weren't the only ones, by the way. Universal tried it with their Monster Cinematic Universe, failed spectacularly. And Warner Brothers wasn't exactly doing that. But they ended up switching plans halfway through to try to achieve the same level of success, which is why they failed spectacularly as well. It started with Man of Steel. Man of Steel was supposed to be the standalone, grounded in reality, relatable Superman that retold the origins of the Man of Steel, the Man in Blue, and all this, gave him a more refined origin story and made him more relatable, and also made him lack self-esteem or have doubts about himself. But as those of us that are fans of the comic, fans of the graphic novels, fans of Christopher Reeve's Superman, we all had issues with Man of Steel. If you haven't seen Man of Steel, then there's going to be spoilers in this thing. So just giving you the FYI, where the spoilers would be, I don't know. But here's your official warning about spoilers for the DCEU. Okay, and I'll tell you which of those movies are, because if you haven't seen any of them and you want to jump on into it, you're going to want to check those out. But I will try to keep the spoilers to a minimum, but I will cover certain plot points that you'll need to know. Man of Steel is a 2.5-hour movie, and we spent about 25 minutes of the opening of the movie in Krypton, which I actually really did appreciate. As a whole, Man of Steel was building the world of Superman. And I did like that, even though he wasn't exactly Superman in Man of Steel, especially with the way it ended, with Superman actually killing the villain. And that's a big deal, because Superman doesn't kill. Now, we could get into the whole moral ambiguities about Batman. Batman kills, I don't care. Superman, on the other hand, never killed. And that's what people had issues with Zack Snyder's vision, that Superman was too dark. He ended up killing one of the proper main villains of Superman. And they blamed Christopher Nolan being the executive producer on Man of Steel for the dark tone of the film. No, it wasn't. That was just Zack Snyder being Zack Snyder. Anyone that's seen Zack Snyder's work would know what he does. But the thing is, we got to lend something to Zack Snyder here. Zack Snyder, he's really good at creating recreating comic books on the big screen. He proved that with 300. He proved it again with Watchmen. And he showed me in Man of Steel. For all of its quirks, I had issues with Man of Steel, great issues with Man of Steel. There were also great standout moments in Man of Steel, particularly the flight scene. The flight scene is on its own the standout scene from the entire film. But for those of you that have seen Man of Steel and probably missed this, and you'll probably want to look back on it, I'm going to talk about the positives of the DCEU in a moment, but I just want to talk a little bit about what ended up happening after the Man of Steel. There was a lot of buzz heading into it, possibly even Oscar buzz. There was a lot of talk that this was like a legit film, and then when the movie came out, it came out to mixed reviews, and it split the fandom as well. for those more modern comic book viewers, that they said that this is a more acceptable version of Superman that speaks to our times, whereas the purists said this is not Superman at all, they should just don't even bother. So the point is that that Man of Steel is already a divisive movie that could have been corrected with the sequel, Man of Tomorrow. And what ended up happening was that Man of Tomorrow, Warner Bros. Decided to just go all in with an extended universe plan to combat Marvel. Hey, if Marvel can do it, so can we. The difference is that Marvel actually planned it out. They didn't change course halfway through their plans. They planned this out over a decade and beyond. Warner Brothers didn't. They said, let's just throw Batman in there. What? And there was a lot of controversy with Ben Affleck being cast as Batman. I actually thought he was a pretty decent Bruce Wayne. And probably one of the most awesome Batman out there. Yes, I said it because... the positives that I'll get to a little bit later. The thing is that what first started was controversial and saying, let's just throw Batman in there and say, we're going to make Batman versus Superman. And how desperate were Warner Brothers that they ended up doing away with the Man of Tomorrow title and just ended up going with Batman versus Superman. Wow, talk about a marketing gimmick, right? And then they ended up renaming that to Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Oh man, dude, for real? You're that desperate? Okay, whatever. So... it was annoying as hell to see the desperation of Warner Bros. To try to build up all this hype to try to combat the DC, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the thing is, I, coming from a background in construction, can tell you this. If you have a weak foundation, the house you build on it is going to fall. And that's what I kept saying about Man of Steel. It was a weak foundation with which to build an entire extended universe on. It's gonna spell doom. Fast forward a few years later, doomed it was. Batman vs. Superman, stupid title. I never called it that. I just called it Dawn of Justice. What ended up happening with it? Some people thought it was a convoluted, bloated mess. It took itself way too seriously. And they shoehorned in other characters in there too. They threw Wonder Woman in there, and they put cameos of Cyborg, Flash, and Aquaman in there. Like, oh my goodness, you guys are desperate. All to build to something even bigger. Suicide Squad came thereafter. Suicide Squad was met with mixed reactions. The thing is that Suicide Squad was supposed to be a little different. It could have kept the dark tone, but it would have been a more dark comedy sort of thing. But it ended up going the complete opposite direction, whereas we're supposed to be seeing a group of bad guys be used for the greater good, they ended up becoming good guys. Like, what? These are not supposed to be good guys. This is stupid. So that fell on his face too. Jared Leto's Joker was cut off a lot, so there's nothing more that could be done with it. We didn't get to truly explore the relationship of Harley Quinn with Jared Leto's Joker, so we never really get to see that materialize. Not even in the second Suicide Squad movie, because who knows if it's ever going to be done at this point. Because we have a new Joker movie coming out of this recording. Yes, another Joker movie. But again, I'll get to that later. So, everything culminated with Justice League. We had Wonder Woman, which was a smashing success. And it was great to see Wonder Woman on the big screen. The movie on its own is, yeah, it's a decent movie. You know, this corny at the end, just like a typical popcorn movie. But overall, the tone of it fit the character. And that was fine. It didn't feel like it was devolved from whatever Zack Snyder was building. So we could have had the Justice League Snyder cut stand out. But instead, Warner Brothers said, you know what? We want to keep the tone of Wonder Woman. Let's change the tone of the Justice League, because Zack Snyder is going to go way too dark and is going to spell doom for the Justice League. So Zack Snyder steps away 1 month before the movie's release, it feels, or a few months before the movie's release, because he says his daughter committed suicide, so he needed to take some time off. After the release of Justice League, which the fan base absolutely hated, because it felt like two different movies made by two different directors, which it was, by the way, because Zack Snyder's movie was supposed to be finished, and instead of being finished, it felt like 70% of it was reshot by new director Joss Whedon of the Avengers films from Marvel. So Joss Whedon has the clout to film superhero stuff, but instead comes along and uproots everything that Zack Snyder did, changed the tint of the entire third act from blue to red, which made no sense, and it just... It felt like a completely awkward film to watch and enjoy. So after that, the entire house that I said would fall because of a poor foundation fell. Because yes, Aquaman came after that. Shazam came after that. The Flash was postponed. We don't know. Postponed indefinitely, maybe. They keep talking about maybe doing Flashpoint to try to reset the clock for the DCEU. But it looks like Warner Bros. Kind of pulled away from that. The Cyborg movie, God knows when that movie is going to come out, if at all. So, Wonder Woman, the next movie, is not even a sequel to her story. It's actually a sequel that takes place in the past prior to any of the events of the DCEU. 1984, Wonder Woman 1984. Will Aquaman 2 follow along the same route? Will they go along and divert onto their own thing? I don't know. Because even though Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck have stepped away from their roles, a Henry Cavill lookalike, but we didn't see his face, was modeling Superman suit at the end of Shazam. So, spoiler for Shazam, sorry. I told you there's going to be spoilers for the DCEU here. So, that was a really great moment, but the thing, we never get to see Henry Cavill's face, but the mere fact that that suit matched everything that was Man of Steel kind of said that, yeah, it still exists in this universe, but it's not actually a continuation of anything. So, we don't know what the heck is truly going on. It looks like these new superhero films are standalone things and telling their own story, just like Wonder Woman's kind of doing now. So we'll see how that turns out. But overall, even this new Joker movie is supposed to be its own thing, a character study into what makes a man go crazy. They're calling it the modern day Taxi Driver already. So we'll see. It has an Oscar buzz all around it. Will another actor win for the portrayal of the same character? Heath Ledger won for the 2008's Dark Knight. Can Joaquin Phoenix finally win? And this time for the Joker? I don't know. I don't think that's happened since The Godfather. When Marlon Brando and then later the Godfather 2, Robert De Niro, they both won for the same role, which was Don Corleone. So, after giving you all this background, I know I spent a lot of time giving you the background of the problems with the universe, and that's probably why it's still known that way. Oh, it's so dark, we had to change the tone. And the tones did change. Aquaman was a fun movie. Shazam was a really fun movie, even though it had really scary moments to it too. Justice League tried to be fun. I mean, I enjoyed the movie because I went in there knowing it was going to be a disaster. So I still enjoyed it for what it was, even though there were some cringe-worthy moments in there. But that was when those movies came out. Since then, there's been a big outcry from the fandom that wants to see the Snyder cut of the Justice League, because we found out after the fact that Zack Snyder didn't step away. He was fired by Warner Brothers so they could change the tone of the movie and not put it in his hands anymore. Look, that's like freaking Star Wars, the new sequel trilogy that has no idea what the hell it's doing, with J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams again not knowing what the hell they're doing and just trying to retcon whatever this and kill off those other characters that. No one was talking to each other. That's why those movies feel completely weird. So the DCEU, Justice League, kind of felt that way because Snyder was building up to the Justice League. He wasn't just trying to rush it. Once he got the green light for this, he was trying to do world building. There were a lot of negatives to that world building, but at least he was building a world. He was leading to the ultimate confrontation with Darkseid, which would have been awesome because all the pieces were in place for it. But we never get to see that. We never got to see Superman wear the black suit in Justice League. And that was all filmed. So whatever happened to that? There's a lot of great moments from the trailer that didn't make it to the film. Like, what happened to those things? What about the backstory to Cyborg when he played football? If it was going to be a 1 hour longer movie, at least we could have gotten some character growth for some of the side characters that were just shoehorned into the Justice League. You know, because overall, the characters in Justice League, the extra superheroes that were tacked on, they had just about as much character development as they did in Dawn of Justice, which was basically cameos. So I wanted to see more of their scenes, and we don't know how much of that was left on the cutting room floor that belonged to Zack Snyder, because when the reshoots were done, we don't know how many of these actors were even available to do the film anymore, because there's that big controversy surrounding Henry Cavill's mustache, because he was filming Mission Impossible Fallout for Paramount, and he was contractually obligated to keep the mustache, so the stash erasing looks awful in the Justice League movie, which is why there was just so much negativity surrounding the DCEU. And because the DCEU plans ultimately fell off and fell apart, that's basically done and buried, so we'll leave it there for now until Warner Brothers announces that they are picking up something different or having a different approach to the extended universe. But for now, it seems like everything since the Justice League is a standalone movie in its own right and a sequel in its own world. So Wonder Woman will keep building on Wonder Woman's world, the Shazam sequel will build on Shazam, and Aquaman will build on Aquaman. They're not going to build into the stories that were initially started by Man of Steel. It's like they threw him away because they're not even planning a follow-up Superman movie. They're planning a freaking Supergirl movie. Why? She has her own TV show. So what then do we make of this? I said it was going to be a retrospect. I highlighted the negative. I want to highlight the positive now, because I actually did get a chance to watch the three movies in a row, well, once a night with my wife, because she's never seen any of those. And seeing her enjoy these from her perspective actually made me enjoy them a lot more. I haven't seen the Man of Steel movie in about 6 years. So in watching it with her for the first time in so long, I really got to enjoy it, really. My wife expressed it at the end, like, I really love this movie. It's like, really? I mean, I know she's not a Superman fan or a comic book fan at all, so I wanted to get her perspective. Why did you enjoy this movie so much? And she said, it felt like I was watching a space movie, like a Star Wars movie, and a superhero movie, all in one, because of the whole Krypton stuff, and then ultimately here on Earth, and Superman being relatable to her. She was invested in this story. So that's why I was concerned that when we were going to watch the Dawn of Justice, she was going to fall off the rails. Like, oh my gosh, this is stupid. This is dumb. Well, we ended up watching the ultimate cut, the director's version of it. So this is like a 3-hour movie instead of the shorter version that came out in the theater. And as long as it was, with all the scenes that were put in there to build up the subplots of the convoluted story that is Dawn of Justice, it did justice, I'm sorry for the pun, to the film that made it enjoyable. Like, yes, it was a very long movie, and you could probably count three ultimately action set pieces in the entire film. Well, if you count the opening scenes as anything action, I don't think there were any action really involved in any of those. More suspense than anything else. The three action scenes would be the Batmobile chase at LexCorp, the gladiator battle between Batman and Superman. Well, okay, four action set pieces, because the next one would be Batman saving Martha. And then Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman versus Doomsday. So those are the four action scenes in a 3-hour movie. So there was more character, story, and mystery buildup that actually worked in its favor in the ultimate cut. And as I told my wife, there's no way we're gonna watch the entire movie in one sitting. We actually finished it, and I thought that she was gonna be bored to tears. I thought she was gonna be annoyed, because when Batman and Superman did get down to brawl and fight, because the setup was still kind of dumb, that's why couldn't Superman just tell him straight out, like, hey, look, guess what, Lex Luthor's been behind the whole thing and trying to just pit us against one another. Instead of doing that, they just get into it and Superman doesn't say anything anymore and they just fight it out. My wife just, like, was not interested in that anymore. Like, this is dumb. She's like, was turning away, that, like, this is just dumb. But ultimately, seeing that that they come to terms towards the end of the fight and realizing they got kind of have to work together, like, okay, at least we got back on track. So then she was heartbroken at the conclusion of the film, like, truly heartbroken. She's like, he's not, right? If you haven't seen Dawn of Justice, here's your spoiler alert, another one. Superman dies. So Superman dies at the end of Dawn of Justice when he sacrifices himself to defeat Doomsday. My wife didn't know that. So actually she was really bummed, because she really liked the character of Superman in this world building. So when that happened, afterwards she was telling me, he's not dead, right? So that's it. That, I told her, that means we gotta watch Justice League, honey. We're going to watch Justice League. We already saw Wonder Woman previously, so we don't have to jump into that one to follow the rest of the story. We're going to have to watch Justice League. And I have to warn you, it's a bad movie. However, I did not watch the Justice League theatrical cut. Two fans took it upon themselves to recut the Justice League movie. One of them, I don't think, ever finished the project because he needed to do some visual effects to it. So I saw the rough cut, which I thought was a better release. I thought it was a better version of the theatrical cut. But since it's not final, we never actually got to see his finalized vision of it. So another fan ended up finishing his own version called Justice League Reborn. You can find it on Google. And some people might think I'm actually advocating piracy here. Look, it's not piracy when a fan is sharing it for others' entertainment because he's not profiting from this. And secondly, how wrong is it for studios to steal our money and give us crap products? I do not know of any other company that offers a product or a service where you cannot go complain to the said company and they make amends for it. The only ones that get away with this kind of nonsense are the Hollywood elites, the Hollywood producers, the Hollywood studios. When they put out a bad product, the only way we can attest to it, because they still make money when we pay money to go watch this movie, that's the only way for us to find out if it's good or not. And then when it's not, we can't get our money back. That is not fair. It's like, this movie was crap. I hated it. Give me my money back. You can't do that for any bad movie. Imagine the precedent it would set for Hollywood if we were allowed to get our money back when they pushed out a stupid product. Wouldn't that be awesome? Man, that'd be so cool. That would change the landscape of all their crap. So then Captain Marvel would not be getting a sequel. Yeah, I don't want to get into the whole negativity about the stupid mouse right now, but let's get back on track. So I watched the Justice League Reborn version of it, which cleaned up the movie, re-edited, cut down some scenes, and added scenes that Zack Snyder leaked when he confessed that he was fired. He released some of the scenes that he filmed, so those scenes were added into the movie of the Justice League Reborn. So it was recut, re-edited, and rescored in some cases. So different music was coming out to keep the tone more in line with what the Snyder universe was. We watched it. I haven't seen it before. So when my wife and I were sitting down, I told her, honey, we're watching a fan version of this thing. So I don't know what to expect. I just hope we like it. We loved it. We loved it. It didn't feel like it was so jarring. Yes, I knew that some tones and tonal shifts were made because Joss Whedon. But overall, the cringeworthy out-of-character moments that came out in the Justice League movie of Joss Whedon were taken out from this one. For example, there's a moment where the Flash in an action scene falls on top of Wonder Woman's breasts. And that's cut out. Thank you for that. Well, unfortunately, there's no way he could correct the cinematography because Patty Jenkins never did upskirt shots of Gal Gadot, but for some reason Joss Whedon did. That was weird. But anyway, the point is that Justice League Reborn fixed a lot of the issues that I had with Justice League, made it a more entertaining movie, and my wife loved it, and so did I. So we were able to watch all three movies and feel like it was a cohesive whole, a great experience, and was told in a trilogy. But I said this is a retrospective thing. Retrospective in that I believe the movies of Man of Steel, most of all the Superman story, has aged better than most people give it credit for. Because especially in the Justice League opening scene, there's that slow motion part where we're seeing a montage of what's happened in Metropolis or what happened with the world with the disappearance of Superman because he's dead. The one that spoke the most to me was when a skinhead is harassing what looks to be a Middle Eastern shop owner in Metropolis, and the police are trying to stop him. I'm like, holy smokes, how old is this? It's kind of old, and I feel like it's speaking to our times, mostly because the media is giving more attention to the white supremacists. But do I think it's a rampant problem as the media tries to portray it? No, not like that, but I'm not saying it's not a problem. It is. It's just not as widespread as they try to make it seem. But the thing is, the movies, I felt, had a very modern tone to it. And it spoke to our times, especially with the character misunderstanding of Superman. Because in having more story to tell in the ultimate cut of Dawn of Justice, we got to see the concerns that Bruce Wayne / Batman had over how much power an individual can have and not knowing who this individual is. That just comes out of nowhere and says, hey, I'm your... He doesn't really say I'm your savior, but the fact is that he's posing as a savior It's like, well, how do we know he's not a danger to all of us? Because look how much power he has. And the only one that can try to stop him is Batman. And with Lex Luthor behind the scenes, kind of pushing them more towards against one another, it made a heck of a lot of sense, including the subplot of Batman branding his the criminals that are then taken to prison, and that being a death sentence because anybody having the Bat brand gets killed in prison. But we find out that Lex Luthor has been paying people off to make it seem that way, like paying people in prison to kill so-and-so that has the Bat brand, so then the news articles can circulate to frame the Batman and Superman not liking that at all, because that's not due process, that's not justice, and that's how he puts them against one another. But anyway, I felt the movies have aged significantly better than people give him credit to. I would love to see Zack Snyder's take on the Justice League materialized, but I don't know that's ever going to happen because of how Warner Bros. Basically fired him from the project. But it would be awesome to see a Snyder cut. But until then, I recommend Justice League Reborn. So if you ever want to check out the DCEU, now is a better time than any to check these out. Oh, they're too dark. Look, it's its own story, okay? And I do feel that it does justice to the characters in the long run for what it told and the universe that it built, because out of all this calamity and chaos, we got Wonder Woman. I gotta tell you, I did not want to see Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I didn't see her as Wonder Woman. I cannot see Wonder Woman without seeing Gal Gadot. I see Gal Gadot, I see Wonder Woman. I see a strong woman that I respect because she actually has military background when she had joined the military in Israel per the law in Israel. So she was someone that's believable with her strength and agility and abilities. She's gorgeous, and her accent just for some reason fits the character. I'm like, I love it. I love her as Wonder Woman, and I can't wait to see more of her. So we have great moments, and like I said, there's positives to each of these movies. Man of Steel had the flight sequence. If you watch Man of Steel, there's a moment where Superman has to go take down this machine while the humans take on a different machine, because there's two machines that are basically turning the Earth into, it's terraforming it into Krypton, so it's destroying it all. It was so moving because I saw that this, because I knew it. For those that watched it the first time, missed it. So I recommend you watch it again and see something different. When Superman is being defeated by that machine because of the Kryptonian gravity that he's allergic to, that weakens him, he's building the strength from the power of the sun to take out this machine. So you see the music rising to some kind of like ethereal, heroic moment for Superman. But here's what made it amazing. Watch carefully during the shaky sequence. Henry Cavill's face become Christopher Reeve. It was outstanding. Like, oh my goodness, what an emotional punch and homage to the OG Superman. Like, that's the moment that Kal-El became Superman. That's the moment that Clark Kent became Superman in Man of Steel, to rise above everything, to sacrifice himself for the greater good, to save humanity. And it was like, wow. Seeing Christopher Reeve's face there was just powerful and amazing. When you catch it in Man of Steel, it makes it all the more powerful. It's like, I really enjoyed it. So in Dawn of Justice, the standout moments, and I'm telling you, the ultimate cut does a greater justice to the story, so it doesn't feel so jarring like the theatrical version did. First off, Wonder Woman is the best part about the movie, of course, but the thing that made it awesome was the warehouse scene where Batman goes to save Martha being Clark Kent's mom. The most awesome Batman action sequence put to film. Hands down. That's Batman. And that proved to us that Zack Snyder wanted to do a Batman film. So it's like a good Batman film trapped in a bad Superman movie. But the ultimate cut does a lot of better justice to it. And then the Justice League Reborn, as I mentioned, does correct a lot of the issues I have with Justice League and tries to put some of the Hans Zimmer themes back into the soundtrack to make it feel a more cohesive thing that Danny Elfman tried to do as well, but was more quirky in some sense because that's what was demanded of him. But overall, that's the way I'd say you experience it, and I think you'll find it a more entertaining ride than it was. So that's all I gotta share. I'm props to the DCEU. It is what we got, and it's aged better than we expected. at least anybody's expected. So I'd say give it a second chance, and if you can get your hands on the Justice League Reborn, by all means, check that version out instead of the theatrical version. So that does it for this episode of Andres Off the Record. I'll see you on the next one.